Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there. It's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting Dota birds. Leaky Black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And don't forget to also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel while you're here. All right, let's get into it. 2 days of the 2023-24 college basketball season are now in the books. On Tuesday night, the headliner, Baylor-Auburn in Sioux Falls. Final score, Scott Drew's Bears 88, Bruce Pearl's Tigers 82. Jacoby Walther was the star, five-star freshman, took 13 shots. He made 7 of them. Finished with 28 points, 6 rebounds in 34 minutes. Deadleg, let's just start there. What'd you make of the Jacoby Walther show in Sioux Falls last night?
Well, we told you about Jacoby Walther multiple times leading up to the season, did we not? And man, oh man, what a debut. Really good. And just a quick epilogue on our rant to start the season. Just give us a couple more of these kind of matchups, man. Not everyone's going to be as entertaining as this one was on Tuesday night, but Baylor and Auburn, they came to play, and they look like, even though there was some erratic play and maybe some questionable shot selection here or there, whatever, man. It was an entertaining game, and those teams looked like they had more than just a few games under their belts at that point, and didn't look like they were playing the first game of the season. So credit, of course, again, to Scott Drew and Bruce Pearl for getting that done. Hopefully more coaches can do that. It really kind of, I don't want to say it saved the first 2 days of the season, because it didn't. In fact, we have some stunning results that we're going to get to. But this one was a joy. Baylor closing the game on a 16-5 run. Walther was the star. But if you watched Baylor play, GP, I mean, they just have, this is partly why I picked them to be a top five team by season's end. You know, when I do my rankings, I'm not saying that's what they're going to look like in the first game, the first week, even the first month of the season. But I think by the time we get to the middle of March, I think Baylor is going to have one of the five best crews in the sport. And they have the length, they have the shooting, they have the defense, they have the size, they've got the roster and the depth. You just saw so much of it there. I mean, even small stuff like Jaden Nunn having 3 steals, and he was maybe the 5th most important player on the floor for Baylor. Walther was the biggie, though. I mean, him having 28 in his college debut, it's the most by a Big 12 freshman since, I'm sure you're aware of this. Beasley went for 32 against Sacramento State in his first game for K-State. So there hadn't been a freshman in the league that had gone for that many in the, 14, 15 years since. He was awesome. Yves Misi was, he came off the bench. He had 10 points, but his steal that led to a transition dunk over Janai Broome. And then I believe on the ensuing play, there was a block. And then I think like 2 plays later, he had another play on the defensive end that led to a transition bucket for Baylor. It was big time, because Baylor came back. I mean, Baylor was trailing, I want to say, from midway through the first half until the final, 2.5 minutes there, Parrish. Impressive resolve from Scott Drew's team. We can get to Auburn in just a second, but Walther already, I mean, just mark it down. Knock on wood, hopefully no injury. Lock lottery pick, and can and probably will work his way into definitive status in the top 10 for the 2024 draft. There is so much to love about his game.
You know, during the offseason, I think as recently as last week when we did the big preview episode for CBS Sports Network, we were talking through, you know, guys who could emerge as household names or faces of the sport. And you had your list. And one of the points I made is that it is often a freshman and sometimes a freshman that, yeah, he was a five-star guy, McDonald's All-American, but he's not somebody like, unless you're a diehard, you know, living on 24/7 sports, you might not know who this person is. 2 years ago, it was Jabari Smith at Auburn. You know, Jabari Smith could have walked around any campus in America 2 days before he played his first game at Auburn, and nobody would have known who he was. That might have also been true at Auburn. He quickly emerged as a candidate to be the number one pick in the draft and one of the best players in the country for a very, very good team. Last season, Brandon Miller, more or less at Alabama, did the exact same thing. And so the point I made last week is there will be a guy who does that this year. Like Bronny James is the most famous freshman. DJ Wagner, maybe right there behind him. And those guys are both immensely talented on their own, but mostly famous because of who their fathers, or in DJ's case, even grandfather, is. Most of these other guys are, again, if you follow recruiting rankings, you might recognize them. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't. But somebody always emerges, and through 2 days, it's just 2 days, but through 2 days, Jacoby Walter looked like he fits the bill. He looked like a guy who could be in consideration, and obviously is, to be the number one pick in the 2024 NBA draft. On Eve Missy, I was going to give you credit. I believe multiple times this offseason you said the buzz out of Waco is connected to that guy. Yeah, Walter's going to be great, but this other freshman from Cameroon, he's got some stuff that makes him a very intriguing prospect. And as you saw him just, and this is the type of stuff, it just saw him running around out there. I mean, yes, he had 10 points, two blocks, two steals in 18 minutes off the bench, but just the way he moves.
Correct.
So yes. At one point said that's what an NBA prospect looks like, or something like that. And it was interesting to see him because, I mean, he looked like an impactful player already. And you mentioned the depth at Baylor. I believe Scott had earlier this season, preseason, in advance of getting started, said he thought this was maybe, you know, his most talented team and one of, if not the not talented. Let me take that back. Deepest teams and maybe one of the deepest, if not the deepest team in the country. And a lot of that was on display last night. I, like you, appreciated that they scheduled that game, Bruce and Scott. I actually texted the four coaches who created the two best games on for Monday and Tuesday. Bruce Pearl, Andy Enfield, Scott Drew, and Jerome Thang, and was like, hey, just appreciate you guys not being cowards and being willing to test your teams in the season opener. I wish there were more coaches like you. And Scott was like, yeah, you get to have a drink and enjoy it tonight. We got to sweat the whole thing out. And they did have to sweat it out. But without that, yeah, we had some bad matchups that turned into some interesting games. Yeah. We'll get to those. But if you're looking for a game that's worth watching, there was, on a surface level, there was really just two scheduled for the first 2 days. And I'm glad we had them, because without that one last night, you know, it would have been an easy night just to watch election coverage, I guess.
Yeah, no, it was a wonderful watch. And yeah, to your point on Missy, I can almost guarantee you that after, you know, maybe one or two trips down the floor the first time he was out there, that Auburn players, there was almost maybe like a buzz or an energy around their heads, because his presence seems to change the dynamic on the floor. And again, that steal transition dunk was outrageous. The first true ridiculous highlight of the season there. Credit to him. Also, Walter, by the way, he went 10 for 10 from the line. Just small stuff like that. He could be really a must-see player, and that was a big time spot.
And he was taking long threes. He was running off of screens, catching, getting his feet set, launching. He looked like an NBA shot maker at 6'5" in day one. That's a great place to start.
Very easy to see. No Baylor freshman had ever scored as much in their debut as Walter's 28. By the way, Baylor has won 20. Is credit to Baylor Sports and Information for this. This is just incredible. Baylor's 20-1 in its last 21 games in neutral sites against non-conference opponents. The only loss came against Virginia in November of last year. 20-1 in neutral site non-con matchups. That's unbelievable. And then for Auburn, just, you know, it's maybe something of a freak trend here, but again, yet again, it its first matchup against the top, you know, 30, top 40 KenPom opponent of a season ends in a loss. This year, it was Baylor. Last season, it was Memphis. The season before that, it was UConn. Season before that, it was Gonzaga. Season before that, it was Florida. Season before that, it was Duke. Season before that, it was deep into the season because Auburn was really good. It was Texas A&M. You have to go back a full decade here. So I do think Auburn's going to be plenty entertaining, plenty fun. Aiden Holloway had 19 off the bench. He shot 4 of 8 from 3-point range. Jani Broom had some really nice moments. He might have range now this season, which is going to be big if that's the case. He had 16 points, 11 boards, stepped up big. Denver Jones had 13. Auburn, and this might be, I don't know if this will be the case with this team yet or not this season, but it has been a team with a lot of unpredictable energy, or at least the predictable part about Auburn is, you know, its games are going to be unpredictable. And there was a little more of that last night. Now, a lot of it was Baylor kind of staying the course, but both teams shot relatively well. I mean, averaged close to or more than 1.1 points per possession, which I thought was pretty huge. Rebounding was pretty even. Turnovers were pretty even. Baylor just got to the free throw line a lot more than Auburn, but Aiden Holloway, a lot of fun. One of my other takeaways was that was a really fun game to watch. Baylor's resolve was impressive. Misi and Walter are undeniable, but Aiden Holloway could wind up being among the 10 to 15 most watchable players in the sport this season, just because he's a little undersized, but has a ton of confidence, a really good handle, and is not afraid. And I assume will be, I don't know if he'll be given an outright green light GP, but he'll have a yellow on every possession to launch from 27, 28 feet in addition to his playmaking. So good performance out of Auburn. They did let the game slip away though.
He better have a green light. You seen some of the guards that had green lights at Auburn over the past couple of years?
That's another good point. And Katie Johnson is still.
If those guys had green lights, then Aiden Holloway's got to have one.
That's true. It's true. That's true. A rare loss, by the way, for Bruce Brill. He's now 27-2 all time in season openers.
Holloway came, as you mentioned, came off the bench. That's always interesting. Like, okay, what's going on there? Is it just a message sent or a lesson? Is it something other than that? He did play a team high 27 minutes though. So yes, he started the game on the bench, but he played more minutes than any other Auburn Tiger. Next up for Baylor, John Brown. They got to mess around with John Brown. Okay. I just think it's funny to say you're playing John Brown.
Is John bringing some of his buddies, or is this going to be 5-on-1?
They're just playing John Brown.
Yeah, that's.
Imagine John Brown trying to guard.
Like, Scott, we appreciate you setting up this big game to start the season. We love it. Who's next? John Brown.
Oh. Yeah, no, Scott's like, all right, listen, I'll play Auburn first, but then we're playing John Brown, all right? I'll play Auburn, put it in the Pentagon, but after that, Send John Brown down to Waco. Bring me John Brown. After they get rid of John Brown, Gardner Webb on Sunday, and then UMKC next Tuesday. Schedule gets a little lighter.
I'll take the trade off though. Give me Baylor Auburn. Auburn as your first game, and if you want to play three bye games, I'll just give us something to pop right off the start of the season.
That's
every
right.
single time.
That's right. That would be my rule. If you open against a quality opponent, your next three can be against John Brown.
We have said it, so it shall be. Also, a shout out to Anthony Smith on Twitter was the closest. I tweeted it out. You'd get a shout out on the show, and so shout out here it is. Closest to the pin, final score, the closest one we had more than 40 responses. Guessed 83-76, a Baylor win, 88-82. Credit to you, Anthony Smith. Thanks for following the show.
Michigan State lost its season opener to James Madison.
The Dukes.
What? That's not great. We'll discuss that surprising result next, but first, a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Michigan State played its season opener Monday night against James Madison, Breslin Center. It did not go well. Final score 79-76 in overtime. James Madison over Michigan State. That's not supposed to happen when you are one of sport's biggest brands, led by an all-time great coach, and at tip-off, a 16.5-point favorite. Deadleg, I sat on an aircraft carrier once and watched Michigan State lose a game in front of the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama. Never thought I'd also watch Michigan State lose a game to the fourth president of the United States.
How are you stealing my trivia time material, right? I was going to trivia time you on James Madison, where Jimmy landed in the chronological order, but you're all over it. All right.
Trivia time.
Okay. Well,
man, buddy. I wish I could show you my screen time. You know how much time I spent on James Madison's wiki page last night?
Can we dive a little bit deeper occasionally than just the Wikipedia page, by the
way? No. Everything I know, straight from Wikipedia.
Okay.
If it's not on Wikipedia, I have no idea. Anytime you hear me say something, you think, oh, that's interesting. How do you know that? I just was playing around on Wikipedia. Who was James Madison's vice president?
Should I know it? Should I know it?
No, of course not.
Okay, then give it to me. I don't know.
It's going to blow your mind. James Madison's vice president was George Clinton.
Okay.
Funkadelic.
Brought the funk?
Yes, to the White House.
Circa what, 1804?
I couldn't believe it either.
Wow.
Believe it either.
Young ones out there, if you're not familiar with Funkadelic, please go find it. Maggot Brain. Get it on the list to listen to.
George Clinton, also first governor of New York.
There you go.
That's all I know.
How about that?
That's everything. That's all. Did anything that happened to Michigan State, anything you saw Monday night, change your big picture idea of what Michigan State will be?
Well, let's first address the thing that's been shared plenty, but if you missed it, the fact that this game was even played, the reason for it, Matt Buckland happens to be Tom Izzo's nephew. he's on the staff at James Madison. That's why this game gets apparently scheduled. And you know what? Credit to Izzo for doing it, but
I won't even take phone calls from my nephews.
Okay. Well, Tom Izzo's a better man than you, I guess.
I think we've known that.
Okay.
I think that's been established.
I had JMU, and honestly, when I was built, I had them. They were the last team in my top 101. And I think at one point I got them as high as 99, but eventually I settled on 101. I was clearly too low. They were expected to be the best team in the Sun Belt. They were quality mid-major last season. And now here's a real kaboom on JMU with getting that kind of win. In fact, good old Bart Torvik, he pointed out, and I'll get to Michigan State, but he pointed out that James Madison has this game on Thursday at Kent State, which, by the way, is part of the MAC Sun Belt Challenge. Are you familiar with the battle for the belt?
Give me that shirt.
Shirt? Have you seen the belt? I figured you want, Nada, do we have a photo of this thing? They're getting a straight up wrestling belt for this thing.
Give me that belt.
I know you want that
belt. We have Billiken belts.
That's true, but they're traditional belts. This is a if you're watching on YouTube, this is an actual
YouTube
wrestling belt. Yep. But Torvik pointed out if they can win, if JMU can beat Kent State on the road, which is not going to be easy, but JMU could go on a roll here, and maybe James Madison will be the last undefeated team in the country. Now it's got to get past Rob Senderoff's Golden Flashes here, but after that, it's projected to win every game until January 6th on KenPom. Now, projecting to win every game versus likelihood to win every game in totality, in aggregate, two very, very different things.
But shut up, nerd.
I know. Statistics, probabilities. What do you want me to do? But just keep an eye out for that. James Madison, by the way, it's the first time they have won a game over a top 15 team, a top 10 team, a top 5 team in school history. The only other time they ever beat a ranked opponent came in 92 in the Meadowlands in New Jersey when they beat 19th ranked Cal, who had Jason Kidd as a freshman. They were 1-42 prior to Monday's win against ranked opponents. So credit to Mark Byington. Credit to Terrence Edwards, who had 26. TJ Pickerstaff had 21. That was really, really good stuff. And a noisy result. We told you the flip side.
Big time result, right?
Huge.
Like,
yes.
Like huge headline Monday night. You know, this top five team losing at home to James Madison. Is it the best assessment of what happened in those 45 minutes? This, A, like you noted, James Madison ain't bad. All right. That's a quality basketball team. And Michigan State went 1 of 20 from three.
I know.
They shot 5% from three. Correct. Like if you're a Michigan State fan and you're disappointed, and why wouldn't you be? The silver lining is probably, hey, James Madison doesn't resonate like some power conference school might, but James Madison is better than some power conference schools. And we missed 19 of the 20 three-pointers that we took. Last season, Michigan State, different team, got it, but they shot 39.3% from three. If they just shoot that average, they make, I'm rounding up slightly, they make seven more threes in the game. That's 21 points. I know basketball doesn't exactly work that way, but you can reasonably suggest that if Michigan State merely shot last season's average, or, you ready for this? Even 5% better from three. Like if they shot 10% from three, that might be enough to win the game. The problem is they shot 5% from three, so they lost. Hopefully for their sake, that's the worst shooting performance they have all season. Tom said afterward he doesn't ever remember his team shooting the ball so poorly. I don't know whether that's true or false. I mean, I guess it's true that he doesn't remember it. I don't know if it's factually a fact. But, boy, that's not the way you want to start a season. Take 23s, miss 19 of them.
Izzo also said this after the game.
Well, I hope the listeners heard that because I sure didn't.
You can't hear that?
Nope.
You can't hear it at all?
Not at all.
Oh, gosh. Never mind.
Good try.
You didn't hear it whatsoever?
A for effort.
You've got to be kidding.
F for execution. A for effort.
Can I try it one more time?
F for execution.
Let me know if you hear this at all. Ready here? You hear Izzo? Do you hear him at all?
The only way I could hear him now is if I call him. You want me to grab my phone and call him?
What is going on?
All right. A for effort. He said, I like the attempt. F for execution. I like that you tried hard. You're diving on the floor for me.
Season's back. Then
you're turning it over. I like the way you get on the floor, but then you're throwing the ball away.
What is going on here? Why is this not working? All right, I'll look into that in a second. He basically said, I'll play the freshman if I got to play the freshman. I'm not happy with how my veterans played. Don't know what was going on out there. And listen, Mati Sissoko, you know, Malik Hall, AJ Hogard, Jaden Akins, they did not play well collectively. Tyson Walker had statistically a good game, but Izzo was like, you know, I didn't think Tyson played that well overall.
Said he had a leadership problem.
Leadership problem. Said Cohen Carr was the only one who had a good game. Cohen Carr had 14 points, 6 boards, no turnovers in 28 minutes. Walker went for 35 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 6 steals. I mean, they needed him to be as good as he was, but I'm not. First of all, you're talking to a guy who was lower on Michigan State than pretty much almost anyone, but even still, I had him 11th in the country. I just didn't pick him to be a top 5 team or a top 10 team this season, but I still think they're going to get it together. This was the first time Tom Izzo lost a home game in November in his career. In fact, the program, I understand that most home games in November are going to be against mid-major competition, most of them, not all, but plenty. Michigan State had not lost a home game since 1986 in the month of November. That's incredible. So that streak finally comes to an end. And I'm not, I don't know. I guess your question was, how much did my perception of Michigan State change by Monday night versus where it was, you know, Monday around 6 o'clock or whatever. And maybe a little bit, but you know, just one game. Let's see what they do here when they got a turnaround play Southern Indiana. I don't have the schedule in front of me. And then they obviously have the Champions Classic. We'll get to that next week. That'll be the next big, you know, a bigger referendums on Michigan State in the short term will come after that big matchup.
Yeah, Michigan State, you've got it right. Thursday against Southern Indiana, that's back at the Breslin Center. Tuesday, Champions Classic, they've got Duke. This might sound weird. Nothing that happened on the court really concerns me about Michigan State or changes what I think they can be. I think they just played poorly, shot incredibly poorly, and lost a game to a team that's good enough to beat them if they shoot like that. What I didn't like is the way Tom talked about them afterwards. Like when coaches say I have an experienced team, but I got a leadership problem. That's not a great thing to hear. It was the type of stuff you heard coming out of North Carolina last year. Like who's the leader? Locker rooms divided, guys pulling in different directions. I'm not suggesting in any way whatsoever that this will go like that. I'm just saying I'm not bothered with they lost the game while shooting one of 20 from three. Like, take anybody. Almost nobody will shoot one of 20 from three, and almost anybody will lose against a quality team when they shoot one of 20 from three. So that's that. But the way Tom talked about them afterwards is that would be concerning to me if I were Michigan State. Ain't nothing he can't fix. I assume that he will. But it is something that he publicly acknowledged is an issue right now.
Yeah, and listen, appreciate Izzo for always being willing to be honest in his press conferences. This is nothing new. You know, we always are going to welcome that. We'll see if it winds up mattering at all. But for how all of this played out from a result standpoint, I mean, Michigan State was the first team in 22 years to lose a home opener as a top five team in the country. The last time that happened was Kentucky when it was ranked number four and dropped its home opener to Western Kentucky in 2001. And there hadn't even been a top five team in the AP poll that lost a season opener to an unranked opponent since Michigan State. It opened on the road against Hawaii as a tune-up to Maui. That was that epic 2005 Maui year with the triple overtime against Gonzaga. Before all that, they went and played Hawaii and they got beat there. So we don't see these kinds of results normally in the first couple of days of the season from top five teams. We got it with Michigan State. They brought back most of the roster. They were ranked accordingly. And we'll wait and see. I think it was just as much. And now I understand the one of 20 from 3-point range. I think it was just as much the way that James Madison was composed because they were up big in the first half, and then MSU did push back, but then they punched back themselves, and that's a good win to a team. I'm probably jinxing them right now here, but from a record standpoint, if JMU really is going to be that good at the Sun Belt level, and if it does beat Kent State on Thursday, there's a chance that this could be FAU-ish if they prove to be as dominant of a mid-major team as expected. This could be a team that we look up in January, and maybe it only has one or two losses to its name.
Just one last thing that is worth pointing out. Obviously, you and I, like, you had them ranked where you had them ranked. I had them ranked where I had them ranked. We both think Michigan State is going to be great relative to most of the rest of the sport. It is worth noting that they weren't great last season, you know?
They were okay. They weren't great. They were okay.
Yeah, no, I'm like, take what I said literally. They yes. weren't great. They were good. But they did finish, I think, 26th at KenPom. They got a 7th seed in the NCAA tournament. They were not I remember just sort of having a conversation with Commander King. He said, man, you guys haven't talked about Michigan State at all. And as we've discussed before, it was because they were never great enough to be like, ooh, they're great. And they were never bad enough to be like, oh, my God, they're really bad. It was just like they were good and just consistent, like just good. And you bring back a lot of those guys. We often, I include myself in this, we go, that good team's bringing a lot of people back. They're going to be great. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they just stay kind of good. I'm not predicting that, but just keep that in mind as we move forward. Norlander, you got some news and notes from elsewhere the first 2 days of the season. Why don't you run us through that right now?
I certainly can, but I'm thinking maybe first, Nada, I'm thinking maybe a word from our partners?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. A couple results here, more than a couple, just a few here. Notable doings in the first 2 days of the season. We talked about USC K-State. That was a Monday night game. 82-69 for USC over Kansas State. The trio of Isaiah Collier, Boogie Ellis, and Kobe Johnson were tremendous. Boogie Ellis had 24 points, 8 boards, 5 assists. Collier had 18 points, 6 assists. He did foul out. And then Kobe Johnson, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals. He really might be the secret ingredient there for USC to be a potentially top 10 team, which I think it will grow into. So a nice win for USC. LeBron James was asked, I guess the Lakers played Monday night as well. He was asked about Bronny, who obviously didn't play. He said Bronny's going to have a heart checkup at the end of the month. And then if that all goes well, I think the plan, according to Bron, will be get him on the pathway to start practicing soon thereafter and then hopefully make his debut later this season, which has always been the plan. But now we know he's got a relatively important doctor's checkup in just a few weeks there. So keep an eye on that. Other uh-oh losses from the first two nights. Rutgers goes and loses to Princeton. Princeton wins 68-61. So Princeton beat 2-seed Arizona. Yeah. Beat 7-seed Missouri in the tournament, made the Sweet 16 to be only the fourth 15 ever to get to the 16, and then opens its season with a 7-point win over a Rutgers program that had not scheduled Princeton in a decade. Fun fact, Princeton is 2-1 in its last three games against Rutgers. Shouts to Matt Aloko, who was terrific, had 21 points. It was a bit of an ugly game, but I was dialed in, and it was they played it in Trenton, so it was a quote-unquote neutral site game. Love to see that.
Is it true? Do I have this right? You reported yesterday that Brett Yormark is now considering adding Princeton to the Big 12.
I did. That is not my report.
I thought that was yours.
That is erroneous. But these kind again. Thank you, Steve Peichel, for this game. I was interested in this game because Rutgers rarely schedules Princeton. Princeton's coming off a tournament run, and Rutgers is expected to be in the NCAA tournament conversation. Princeton not even picked to win the Ivy League after doing what it did last year. That's Yale in overwhelming fashion. That said, these exact results are why high major coaches straight up do not want to schedule, I'm being specific here, in-state mid-major competition. Losing to Princeton, how's this helping Rutgers? It's not whatsoever. If it had won the game, I actually think from a resume standpoint, it could have stood up well. It didn't. So it goes. Steve Peichel, don't let this scare you off from scheduling Princeton again, but I feel like as long as he's the coach at Rutgers, we're never going to see this match.
Oh, no. Yes. Rutgers, go ahead and book it. Season opener next season, John Brown.
There you go. Yeah.
Bring John Brown to Piscataway.
It's already on the top.
Bring me John Brown to Piscataway.
Oh, boy. Another upset. Man, I had my Flight of the Conchords ready and everything. Vandy, who'd they lose to? I'm going to play it. Let me know if you hear this. Who'd Vandy lose to on Tuesday night?
A for effort.
You didn't hear it?
I mean, it's I appreciate the effort. I like that you're trying stuff. Gosh,
I got Flight of the Conchords all loaded up. Presbyterian.
I like that you're trying stuff.
Caribbean.
But the execution, you got to get a little, the execution ain't there yet.
Someone in the chat saying I'm 1 for 20 on getting recordings to play.
You're like the Michigan State of audio.
Oh, man.
We might have a leadership problem ourselves. It's possible we got our own leadership problem here.
Public of Dominican. Ladies of the World, Flight of the Conchords. That's music assignment number two. For the folks out there, please go check it out. Flight of the Conchords, big time. Anytime I can squeeze in a Presbyterian into the show, I'm going to do it. I'll look into why this isn't playing. Gosh, man, that is just so disappointing. Oh, but not nearly as disappointing as Vanderbilt dropping a home game to the Blue Hose. The Blue Hose had lost 18 in a row. It's not just that. You lose to Presbyterian. First of all, what league is Presbyterian in? Can you get the league in three guesses?
Yeah.
Okay, give it to me.
Metro Conference.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. Great Midwest Conference.
No.
Pac-12.
One more.
ACC.
That's a no. All right. Big South, and pick last in the Big South.
Not by me. Not by me. I didn't pick them last in the Big South.
I think for this episode, what trivia time?
Okay, let's go.
What town? First of all, what state is Presbyterian in?
Oh,
come on.
We count in Puerto Rico as a state?
No.
Okay.
It's not there.
Should be. Presbyterian?
Yeah.
I mean, that's in Virginia.
How about one more guess?
West Virginia.
Oh gosh, you're going west. You need to go south. It's in South Carolina. Not only that,
I know it's not far from Chester, I think.
Exactly. So I feel like for this show and this show only, let's get a little Clinton, South Carolina shout out at the end of the show. Okay, right next to Chester. Actually, let's go over. Let's do blind guess right now. I swear I didn't look this up. This is podcast production magic in real time here. What is your guess on how long it takes to drive from Chester to Clinton?
Oh man, $1.45.
$1.45. I'm going to say we're looking at 37 minutes. All right. Clinton, South Carolina. Here we go. Actually, we'll do Presbyterian exactly. Clinton, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And George then, Clinton, exactly, Vice President Clinton, for James Madison.
Getting all over this right now.
Yeah.
Come on now. Chester, South Carolina. You said $1.45?
Yeah, $1.45 is what it's going to take to get all you right, there. That's if traffic.
38 minutes.
That's if traffic's bad.
Clinton, you're looking at a 55-minute drive right there on 72.
No, but I was taking into account like on
long way is an hour seven. So
yeah, and then I was assuming there'd be a really bad wreck on the interstate. Okay. We get caught a little bit. You ever been caught a little bit? I saw a dead body on the side of the interstate a couple weeks ago.
Come on, man.
True story.
I'm trying to talk about Presbyterian beating Vandy.
I know, but you know, I could tie it together. Give me 3 minutes. I could tie
I know
it together.
You, I know you can. All right, let's shuffle along here. Blue Hose had lost 18 in a row. Pick last in the Big South, but not by Gary Parrish.
Not by me. I didn't do that.
This team went 5-27 last season. Went into Vandy.
Just better than Louisville.
It's true. Nevertheless, it walked into Memorial Gym. Okay, it just walked right in. That's what it did.
Too many people do that these days.
There was no Tyron Lawrence for Vandy. He's the best player, but still. And no Lee Dort, who's a good big. But you cannot lose this game. So credit to Presbyterian. Shame on you, Vandy. Vandy's had a habit of dropping some games against mid-major competition in their home gym under Jerry Stackhouse. This is like the fifth or sixth time they've lost to a mid-major at home since Stack took over. Not a good sign. Also, other upsets. Oklahoma State lost at home to Abilene Christian. It was an ugly game. Not a good result for Mike Boynton's team. Abilene Christian, you may recall, beat Texas as a 14 seed in the 2021 NCAA tournament. That loss prompted Chaka Smart to go and be the head coach at Marquette.
That's I don't know why the NCAA couldn't have banned Oklahoma State from playing them.
Yeah, that's true. They should have stepped in. They should have intervened. Mike Boynton would have welcomed an intervention, I think.
Buddy.
He would have welcomed that. But that's a tough one. DePaul, come on. Listen, I think I speak on behalf of everyone associated with this podcast. We just want good things for DePaul. You can't be losing your season opener at home to Purdue Fort Wayne.
Ray Meyer wouldn't do that.
I don't think Ray Meyer ever lost to Purdue Fort Wayne. I think he was undefeated against the Mastodons, whether or not he encountered them, period.
Can't. Joey Meyer wouldn't have done that.
Shout out to Mark Aguirre. Tough loss for DePaul there. Hate to see it. And then VCU, in its first game under new coach Ryan Odom, McNeese State goes up there without former VCU coach Will Wade, who is serving.
It's hard to keep track.
Suspension. It is hard to keep track. VCU drops a game to McNeese State 76-65. Now, McNeese State, the overwhelming pick to win the Southland, like probably going to win that game, but that league by like four games or so. Nevertheless, goes into VCU, goes into that gym. upends them by 11. It's a notable result there. So those are some upsets of note. There was a near upset of note. Louisville pulled it out.
Buddy.
94-93 over UMBC. They're on the board. They are 25% of the way to where they landed last year.
I think they can get there.
I know they're going to get there.
Buddy, I'm not certain.
They're going to get there. They won. First of all, I think the entire like College Hoops Twitter world was ready to say, how are you going to go and win four games in a season, and then you make the conscious decision to open your first game the following campaign against a team that is so connected to one of the biggest upsets? Not that this would have been a huge upset, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to play UMBC? Like, you don't schedule Fairleigh Dickinson, by the way, went on the road, beat Buffalo. Shouts to FDU. You don't schedule UMBC, Fairleigh Dickinson. You don't want to set yourself up for the memes. Louisville narrowly.
I got two words for you, Kenny Payne. John Brown.
John Brown.
Get John Brown to the Yum Center.
There's only so many days in the season for John Brown. Okay. You're going to have them scheduled to play 57 games by the end of the show.
They should.
I tell you what. I finished up last Tuesday night. All the pod prep, all the notes. And then I wake up this morning kind of going through it, and I'm like, well, damn. Nevada beat Sacramento State 77-63 on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why we're talking about it. We're talking about it because this game... Here's an update from Sacramento State's men's basketball's Twitter account. We have a bat delay at the Lawler Event Center. Multiple bats flying low around the court, disrupting play and nearly running into players... 5:40 left in the game. Hornets 56, Nevada 63. The bats apparently perish. These bats, and it is not just plural. It's a colony. Actually, what do we call a group of bats? Do you know? I'm gonna look it up right now.
I call them a gang.
I feel like it's a really badass name. I've heard it before.
Them a gang.
No, it's a
gang of bats. A flock of bats.
No, it's not a. It's a
stable of bats.
It's a colony of bats, I believe. Google's telling me.
Or a cauldron of bats. A cauldron?
That's pretty good.
A basketball game delayed by a cauldron of bats? A
cauldron of bats.
Those bats and this COVID, we ain't gonna get through this season.
Sports incredible. A cauldron of bats interrupted a game on Tuesday night. There was a video that was out there. Apologies, I don't know who posted it, but you had Noodles, Nevada assistant, former head coach. He's got one of those towels. He's like swiping at it. You had someone that looked like they had the same kind of net to catch fish in. They're trying to swoop in and catch the bats. First of all, you got a cauldron of bats living in your ceiling.
That's tough.
What are we doing?
Hey, oh, by the way, had a squirrel in my attic recently. Called them out. I said, hey, I think I got a squirrel in my attic. They came out and looked. What do you think the quote was?
Ooh.
Squirrel out, remove the squirrel, and then patch up any construction issues that have led to it.
So it's damaged to the home here to get it out.
No, we just got to like close a little gap that was a construction, when they built the home.
Add that in. I feel like a reasonable price is like $350. But the way that you're leading me here, I'm going to say that it was north of $500.
$8,000.
You're out of your mind.
I told this guy, I think I can get a dead body removed from my house.
You adopt the squirrel at that point. $8,000?
I told this dude, I feel like I could murder people and get actual human bodies removed from my home for less than $8,000.
That's dark.
Like, I know people who would do it for less than $8,000.
Reminder, this is a self-proclaimed extortion expert on the show. Now just openly sharing his plans. All right, a good time.
Buddy, I will shower with a squirrel before I pay $8,000 to get it out of my house.
You'll cuddle with a squirrel for half that. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Is it gone?
It is gone.
Okay. And you didn't have to pay a cent?
I just had to get some buddies.
Okay.
Down here in Mississippi, you always got some buddies that can handle some stuff like this.
You know what? You're correct.
I tell you what, there ain't a lot of great things about being in Mississippi, but one of them is... You always got some buddies that can handle some stuff.
That's fair. By the way, this whole bat situation, I love that it happened. This apparent stunt, which by the way, so apparently Sacramento State's on a 12-2 run. The cauldron of bats, the colony of bats descends. The Lawler Event Center. Lawler? We've got a Jerry Lawler situation here?
Different spelling, but I hope so.
It is a different spelling?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? It's the Jerry Lawler Center to me, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't forecast many Nevada home games in our Final Four and One future. However, Jerry Lawler Event Center. I feel like it's got to be that.
He's Congrats. A legend. He's the king.
Congrats to Nevada. Here's what I sent this over to Nada because apparently I can't play it. Apparently I can't play the sound.
Buddy.
Here's the post. Steve Alford was actually asked about something else before he pivoted to mentioning the bats. Nada, go ahead and play this press conference video.
This is on Coach Knight. I just wanted to know how you kind of dealt with that tonight, and were there any moments during the game where he kind of popped into your mind, or you kind of felt him or were thinking about him as you were out there on the court?
Yeah, I wondered what his thoughts would have been with the bats. Yeah, because there's a lot of things that came to my mind. There was a time I thought about throwing a chair.
It's actually pretty good.
It's frustrating when things don't go the way they're supposed to go. We should know.
We should know. The person or people behind the No Context College Basketball Twitter account DM'd me overnight. This is a request. I know you're not prepared. Read this verbatim. We got need a GP bat impression on tomorrow's show.
I haven't even practiced.
Can you give us a Christian Bale? I'm Batman.
I can't see. You remember when Adele had that Vegas residency the first time?
Not comparable.
And, you know, they put tickets on sale and they promoted it and people bought the tickets. And then she said, I'm sorry, but I'm not ready to do this. I can't do this yet. I can't deliver what I need to deliver to make it worth your while. I feel a little bit like Adele right now.
I feel like Adele would pay $8,000 to get a squirrel out of her house, though.
Yeah, I think
I feel she like would. That's just a no-brainer.
Remember when she was talking about calling that dude 50,000 times?
No.
She said, I must have called you 100 times or something like that. And I'm like,
are you talking about the song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the lyric is, I must have called 50,000 times.
I must have called 100 times? 1,000 times? 1,000 times,
yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how crazy it is to call somebody 1,000 times?
You want to follow up? Your Axl Rose impression with a little Adele. You want to make that pivot?
She said, hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times. And yes. I'm like, I would block your number after like 8. Like that's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, be calling somebody 1,000 times from the other side or any side.
After much speculation on his availability, Donovan Clingan did wind up playing for UConn in the team's debut. UConn Cruz, they destroyed Northern Arizona. Clingan had 12 points, 8 boards, 3 blocks in 15 minutes. And Alex Caravan starred. He had 22 points, 7 rebounds. So good to see Clingan be available on time. That's a big one. One news note, Bill Self, it was announced on Tuesday, got a new deal that makes him the highest paid coach in the sport. Contract has it for a 5-year rolling deal. So every year that Self continues to coach, he'll just have 5 years in front of him on the contract. It totals right now at about $53 million overall. So yes, if you're doing the math, Bill Self is averaging or set to average more than $10 million a year over the next 5 seasons. That's a big one. I think Bill Self and John Calipari, I think, are the only ones in men's college basketball that currently have these quote unquote lifetime setups in their deals. Self is regarded as the best coach in the game. And now that the IARP saga is behind him, he actually signed the contract last week, but it became public on Tuesday. Kansas went and made sure to go about and pay him handsomely. And there's also a clause in that new deal that says anything in the past now can't be used against him for termination for cause or anything like that. So good on Bill Self for getting the deal.
I was on with Sarin Petro yesterday in Kansas City, and he asked me this question. I'd be curious to get your answer. I didn't have a great answer off the top of my head. I think I've got an answer now. Bill Self is now the highest paid coach in college basketball.
Yeah, yes.
Someday somebody is going to turn around and make you cry. That wasn't right. Someday somebody.
Oh, gosh.
Is going to.
Wilson Phillips?
It just popped into my head. I just said someday somebody, and then it just clicked. Isn't that weird?
The no context preview. I have just.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
Options here. Yep.
Continue. It's like when somebody says 18 years, somebody else will immediately go 18 years, 18 years, 18 years, every time. Yeah, if you ever say, I think he got sentenced to 18 years, somebody else will say 18 years, 18 years. Same thing that just happened to me. Somewhere, somebody, someday, somebody, somewhere is going to be the highest paid coach in college basketball. And it's not going to be Bill Self. Somebody will get a bigger contract than this someday. Who will it be?
I don't know, because I went on HQ Tuesday to talk about this and I got asked, like, what does this mean for contracts going forward? Here's the deal, man. Bill Self has been at Kansas for two decades. He's regarded as the best coach in the game, has multiple national championships. This deal sets him up now. It kind of, you know, there was always like a little bit of, will he go and maybe try his hand at coaching in the NBA? And that just never materialized. It didn't happen. In order to get to this kind of level, to be paid north of $10 million annually as a head coach, yes, it will happen. Like, there will be. But I'm not expecting these kinds of deals under these terms for this much money. I mean, this is rarefied stuff here. But you're saying who will be the next coach that makes more than 10 milli?
That one day there will be this headline.
Yeah.
John Brown or somebody else signed a contract with whatever school, making him the highest paid coach in college basketball.
Man. Oh boy. Like, there's a chance. In fact, I think there's a likelihood, although we never know the number, that Mike Krzyzewski was almost certainly being paid. You would have to believe
more than what I was told by somebody at Duke one time was, and like one time toward the end of Mike's career, what I was told was by somebody at Duke is, like, you can go look at your USA Today list.
Yeah.
Nobody makes more money than K.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I was told.
The working theory is that Krzyzewski was clearing. Bill Self probably now isn't making as much as Krzyzewski was in his final 5 to 10 seasons at Duke, which is understandable. So with that in mind, like Shire, you know,
that would be my best guess. John Shire keeps recruiting like this, wins a national title, he's the highest paid coach.
You gotta like, I know you can get there, but he's in year two. Yeah. He's in year two, and they've played one game this season. So we'll see. I think it's possible. I'm looking at my list here.
Multiple people saying, or one person at least, saying Mick Cronin. Like, you know how we feel about Mick Cronin. UCLA doesn't have a history.
That much.
UCLA doesn't spend money like that.
You have to have won. In my opinion, if you're getting a $10 million, we're talking multiple national titles and a long established period of dominance or success at a certain spot. And even like, I can't see, like, let's say this Baylor team hits it. I can't see Baylor getting to $10 million for Scott Drew. It's a good question, GP. Like, eventually the money's going to get there. Eventually,
the way Scott Drew becomes the highest paid coach in college basketball is like he wins another title or goes to another Final Four and one of the big, big, big jobs opens.
Yes. But even
and then, they come after him hard, and then he stays at Baylor for the big contract,
I guess. And even then, it's this for men's college basketball, this is a ton of money. Like, $10 million annually is huge, huge money, rarefied air. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. I would say we will not have a coach be making more than $10 million at least in the next half decade, because I don't think there's any coach positioned to really get that kind of money at that kind of level.
All right. Before we get out of here, and we do have to get out of here.
I know, we got to get out of here.
There are at least three kind of interesting games featuring ranked teams, or at least quality teams, over the next couple of days. On Wednesday, that's tonight, you get number 10 Florida Atlantic versus Loyola Chicago and Arizona State against Mississippi State. Both those games in Chicago. It's the Barstool Invitational. Top 10 teams almost never open with a true road game, and this is not a true road game for FAU. But the Owls are playing Loyola Chicago 11 miles away from Loyola Chicago's campus. I don't know how much of a big deal that's going to be, but like what I just told you is true. Florida Atlantic, only a 4.5-point favorite and might be shorthanded. So FAU starting 0-1. Like, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world, although it would be a nightmare for my mentions.
It's over for you.
Oh, there's nothing I need more in my life tonight than Florida Atlantic.
If you pay $8,000 for FAU not to lose tonight,
I would be more willing to pay $8,000 for an FAU win than I would to get a squirrel out of my home.
It certainly carries a lot of intrigue. Loyola Chicago was not good last season, 10-21, expected to be much improved. But this is high on the intrigue meter. Let's just see what FAU looks like first game going to Wintrust Arena, DePaul's home arena. So you're already walking into a weird juju situation there. So I'll be intrigued to check that one. And then
FAU going to mess around and end up with more wins at DePaul's arena than DePaul. If we don't get serious.
Anything's possible.
If we don't get focused.
Arizona State, Mississippi State is the second game in that. And Mississippi State is expected to be the better team. No Tolu. He's by far the best player on either of these teams, but he's not available for Chris Jansen's Bulldogs there. Bobby Hurley has had a habit of picking off notable non-conference wins away from home. So that would not be surprising whatsoever. And then got a good one Thursday, New Mexico at St. Mary's. And that is it. Now, New Mexico, a team that I think is going to make the tournament, and St. Mary's, a team I think is going to make the tournament. And St. Mary's has that in their home gym. So I find that to be intriguing. That one and James Madison, Kent State are your two big Thursday watches. There you go. Got to enjoy that.
Yeah, New Mexico at St. Mary's. That's two top 40 KenPom teams.
And if you are unfamiliar,
Jalen House, Aide Mahaney,
let's go.
Two great guards,
Jamal Mashburn Jr., another guard for New Mexico can really fill it up there. So yeah, St. Mary's, Mitchell Saxon, Alex Dukas, they got some good dudes. That's actually that's a high quality. I know it's not power conference teams, but that's like a high quality game there. So that's actually worth tuning into Thursday. It's 10 Eastern. Before we get out of here, we got to talk about this real quick here. Nada, can you put this picture up of this guy? Can we just openly wonder and conspire about what the heck's going on here? So if you are not watching on YouTube, and you should be, please subscribe to the channel.
Hey,
guy shows up.
YouTube.
Guy shows up on Monday night to Syracuse.
Yep. Okay?
Syracuse opened the season against New Hampshire at 183-72. Adrian Autry, congrats on your first career win. This guy.
Yep.
Shows up. First of all, he's got this sign dangling around his neck. It says alumni 1975, first time back, all caps, go orange, 3 exclamation marks. Jim Boeheim's head coaching career began in 1976. This guy graduated in 75. I don't know why, but he graduates in 75 and does not make it back to a single Syracuse home game.
That's right.
For 48 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the first damn game that Jim Boeheim is not the head coach of Syracuse, this guy's in the building. And not only in the building, if you see the picture, there's no one else in view of the frame right. He was there bright and early. He's there an hour and a half before tip. All right. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, come on. We know what happened.
What happened?
I mean, we know what happened.
Took his girl?
Yes. Jimmy B got his girl. Jimmy B got his girl back in the 70s. This man held a grudge all these years.
This man is unbelievable. I'm completely serious. Mike Waters, Donna DeTota, two tremendous Syracuse beat writers. Please find this man and get this story. I have to know how this Syracuse graduate goes from 75 to 2023 and never goes to a Syracuse home game.
I know. I just told you.
Unreal.
You hear that story John Stamos said? John Stamos, he got a new book out. If you're looking for something to read, John Stamos has a new book out.
Working through Killers of the Flower Moon. I got to finish it before
Just watch the movie.
You could probably
finish the book before you can finish the movie.
That might be true.
John Stamos said once upon a time he had this pretty little girlfriend, and he went to visit her at her house. And when he went there and he walked in her house, she's laying in bed with Tony Danza.
Oh, man, that's tough.
I mean, that is tough.
That's tough.
And this woman's got a type, doesn't she?
Respect to Tony Danza, but Stamos.
That's tough. That's a tough situation. So I would assume something similar. This guy came to visit his girlfriend.
And a Tony Danza. And so Boeheim's the Tony Danza.
Jim Boeheim is the Tony Danza of college basketball. I've been saying it for decades.
Credit, by the way, to Jeff Rubin, who put this photo of this man on Twitter and prompted plenty of discussion. Just, you know what? All things considered, didn't have a lot of high profile matchups. We had more discussion content than I could have possibly imagined on this first in season episode of Ion College Basketball. So College Basketball, thank you as always for that. And if you're listening on your phone, reminder, our Wednesday and Friday shows for the foreseeable future, they will be live on YouTube at 9 a.m. Eastern. I'm going to fix my board here so I can play.
I've heard that before.
I'm going to fix the board. Not happy with the situation right now. Okay. I pulled a Michigan State. Not happy about it. Mm-mm. But if you want to get the podcast as soon as possible, the only way to do that is to watch the show in real time on YouTube. We'll be live again on Friday to preview the weekend and the first edition, final 4-1. Yeah. We're going to need some sort of terms yet again. We got to figure out what you're going to have to give me after my record beats you again.
So. If I win, you never get to try to use the audio on the podcast.
No, I don't agree to those terms. Not a chance. Not a chance.
Well,
I'll pay $8,000 to you before I agree to that.
Man, that guy, he said like, it's probably going to be like a 79.87. And I was like, hopefully you mean $79.87. He's like, nope. I said, buddy. And then you know what he said? He said, what do you do for a living? He looked right at me.
He knew.
I said, don't act like you don't know what I do for a living.
Okay, that's enough.
I said, I work in I just tell stories, really. And he said, you in the media? And I said, yeah, I guess. And he goes, well, I can give you a 10% discount then. And I'm like, a 10% discount on squirrel removal because I'm in the media? What are we doing?
Yeah, it sounds like an open up operation there. Yeah, what is going like, on?
What? That's what I was like, man, you got
some buddies. You're like, you know what? I got some buddies.
You know what? I know some fellas. I grew up with some fellas. Let me do it. One Facebook search, I can have this thing fixed. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Clinton, South Carolina.
Yeah, baby.
Shouts to Terry Mefatigo, legend. Hawk Larnell, thank you guys once again for listening, watching Eye on College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. Any way you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple, Spotify. More of us than there are of them. That needs to be reflected. We're going to talk to you again Friday morning. Till then, take care.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.